What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Talk That. Woo! My name is Amanda.
And I'm Natalie.
And we are K-Junkies on YouTube.
And for this episode of Talk That, we're going to be doing another K-Chat where we talk about recent events in K-pop.
Like we did two episodes ago. And, you know, some interesting things have happened in the past month, I believe. We want to dive into those things. Maybe some things you are also curious about or things you forgot about that we want to bring up and talk into depth about. So the first thing I want to actually go into is something that was revealed about a month ago. That was very, very interesting. The Produce 101, like, actual, like, rankings and participants that were done dirty.
Got eliminated for, like, no reason, essentially.
And, you know, I thought it was really interesting that they released that during this ongoing problem. Yeah, we learned some interesting things, and you can only, like, really think who shouldn't have made it in regarding the people that were... we're supposed to make it in.
I mean, the only season we watched was 48. That was the only one that we sat there and we watched the whole thing. And I was even at work when they were announcing the winners for IZ*ONE.
Yeah.
And you already know that Kaon should have made it in. That was just... We knew it was rigged by then because it just did not make any sense. And apparently Chowon was supposed to make it also into IZ*ONE. Yeah. Which she was also fantastic. I thought that was also kind of... weird that she didn't make it in. And they actually, not only were they revealed like that their elimination was unfair, but they actually revealed the rankings for them. And Kaon was number 5 and Chowon was number 6. So they were definitely supposed to be in IZ*ONE.
Did they reveal like why?
I saw people online like theories that like they didn't fit the image of IZ*ONE that the producers wanted. Also,
were they too mature looking?
Maybe they weren't like...
How old is Chowon?
Yeah, but I think her image didn't fit.
Too
like,
sexy?
Maybe. I guess that's what people were saying. Yeah. Some people were saying that the companies of the other idols might have bribed for their idols to make it in. Obviously, we don't know which companies. I know there was some companies that did get in trouble with that. I don't remember if they said anything about that, but that we've been known. I'm surprised that not even more of the Japanese members were revealed because I feel like... there was other AKB48 members that possibly could have made it in that didn't make it in either. But Kaon for sure was like, she ranked high the entire season. And then for her not to make it in was just, didn't make sense.
Yeah, there was a few questionable members that made it in that I think probably weren't supposed to be there. And these two girls were supposed to be there.
Probably. But again, we can only speculate who, because obviously if they were to reveal that, that would just... probably end IZ*ONE at that point.
I mean, IZ*ONE isn't supposed to last much longer.
No, I know, but like, you might as well just let them finish their run. Unlike X1, who got cut short because of the whole scandal, because they were fresh. There was also interesting X1, people that should have made it in. One of them was Jinhyuk from Uptension.
Yeah.
He was definitely supposed to make it in at number 7. I think it could have been that they both were supposed to make it in and they didn't want two Uptension members.
Yeah.
So they decided just to cut Jinhyuk off because I feel like Woosuk would have made it in.
You know, it was maybe a visual thing.
Maybe.
Maybe they wanted Woosuk because of his image.
Also, a member called Ku Jungmo, who was in Gravity, was supposed to make it into X1. At number 6. Did not make it in. There's other names here, but like, since we don't really know them. Apparently there was also an X1, a member from BOI, the duo, and a member from Ghost9 were supposed to, they were eliminated early in the 3rd round. Because there's usually four eliminations, I believe, in the Produce series. They were eliminated 3rd.
That's so weird. Like, why would you eliminate people early?
Yeah, then season 2 of... Produce 101. It doesn't say if Baekho would have, or Dongho. It didn't say if he was supposed to rank into 101, but it still said that his elimination in round 4, which is the last round of eliminations, was like unjust. It doesn't say that he ranked.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't say. Maybe
if it's the last elimination, that means he was supposed to be.
That's what I believe. 101. But it doesn't say here on this article what his ranking was, what it would have been. Nonetheless, I also believe that they didn't want two newest.
Yeah. I still find it weird because I think JR
was right?
Or Jonghyun, you know, considering I thought he was really big.
Me too.
Like, they were calling him Nation's leader. Not
that, but Samuel too. A lot of people were confused with Samuel.
Yeah, those are maybe, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's weird.
I know, right? Maybe they just didn't reveal everyone.
It's so, honestly, this whole produce thing is
yeah,
so-
and there was also, even in the first Produce 101, the first round of voting, two girls were taken out in the first elimination.
The first
that
elimination.
Weren't supposed to be taken out. So, I mean, there was corruption in the whole,
yeah,
all the series. There was also even corruption in Idol School, which is the show that Promise 9 was created from. And it just goes to show you that, you know, we've been known. We knew it was, mm-hmm. all of these were rigged. Like, mm-hmm. and people that think it was all fair, like, come on. There was so much evidence that it wasn't.
I mean, it was obvious whether it was evidence or not. But, like, I loved that because I remember, you know, certain people would make it in and then others wouldn't. And people would be like, well, they worked really hard to get into, and like, they all worked hard.
Yeah, everyone worked hard on that show.
You know, they all worked hard, but clearly because there was corruption, some of them didn't work as hard. Like, they kind of were handed it on silver platter.
I remember some trainees that were on Produce, even for screen time, they were like, oh, like, you kind of already knew who the favorites were. Like, yeah. There was people that just, they knew they had no chance once they realized that there was already favoritism between the trainees. They were like, well, I'm not going to make it in. So it sucks. Yeah, it sucks. And this whole controversy, I mean, that's why the Produce series ended. I kind of wish that survival shows just weren't such a big thing.
I hate survival shows.
I know. I feel like, because in the end, like, I think people also use survival shows as like a, oh, they worked really hard, but like everybody works hard in every group, even
just
if you
because,
don't, even if it's not televised.
Just because it's not televised doesn't mean that everyone didn't train the same. You know, being on a show, and like, these shows are like scripted too. So like,
oh, for sure.
You know, they're showing you what you want to see, but that doesn't necessarily mean that would have happened either. I mean, survival shows have technically been around forever. You know, like, Big Bang was technically kind of like a survival show, and VIX. But the way that they're produced now is just so excessive,
well,
I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I think my problem with the Produce series was that they were temporary groups.
Yeah, that too.
I think if you're doing a survival show, I still think it's a little like, eh, but at least if a permanent group comes out of it, all right, at least we get a permanent lineup. I think the temporary groups thing is what gets to me, because these groups like explode and get all these awards and everything just for them not
for
to
what?
Be a real group.
Yeah, I honestly feel like it's kind of like it robs the actual groups of like awards that they could have been winning. Like, like these temporary groups are like always guaranteed the rookie award.
Yeah.
Because of they're on a big
show. Yeah.
But like, what's the point of you getting a rookie award if you're not going to continue being a group?
Yeah,
you know, you kind of robbed that award from a permanent group that could have gotten it. So that always has bothered me.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we get some pretty good jams, but at what cost?
And then people get attached, and then people
and
get
it hurts,
sad
when they break
and
up.
That's why I never get attached to
me
temporary
neither.
Groups
no, me neither.
Ever. I don't let it happen.
Like, I always like, I'll like specific members, and I'll think specific members are pretty or talented, but I never invest in a temporary group
ever
because it's not worth it. Yeah, that was kind of the Produce. We kind of went in on that.
No, I mean, that's always been something that I've always been very open about, how much I hate the series, and then watching Produce 48
solidified
how much I hated the show.
Yeah,
and I was really, really upset.
At least it's over
after it. Like, I was so mad.
I know, we were really,
they did my girl Yoonjin so dirty. I loved her so much.
They did my girl Yoonjin from BBC
yeah
extra dirty. I was so pissed when she
no
got
I was
eliminated.
So mad
I think I cried when she
with
got
the Yoonjin thing, because like I loved her. She was an amazing vocalist,
amazing,
but then she got into this little thing in regards to her wanting to be the vocalist of that one Into the New World, which she deserved, and then they just made her look bad for wanting it.
Yeah
And
it's,
I was like, it was ridiculous.
I mean, it's the editing too.
I was so mad.
Mnet editing is
snakes.
Snaky. But yeah, that's I guess a little bit of, not a little bit, we kind of went into this Produce 101 thing. It's something we think about.
Yeah, I just want to touch on that because it came out like
it was interesting. It was interesting to see them reveal certain names.
But moving on to something more recent, the MAMA performances.
Ah, yes, the coveted MAMA Awards.
Yeah, the MAMA Awards
happened.
I don't want to talk about the actual awards.
No, we don't talk about the actual awards. I was just going to mention that, like, you know, in our early K-pop days, we tuned more into that. I think as you get older, we kind of just lost interest in, like, the winnings more. But the performances are always really cool to watch. Yeah. I didn't really keep up with the performances last year. But this year, I was like, you know what? Like, let's sit down and watch some of these. Especially since there is no crowd. The stages and everything was a lot more extra because it wasn't on an actual stage, like, venue.
I'm sad we didn't get, like, idol reactions to the
idol reactions are always the best, so that was a little bit sad that we didn't get to see, like, Jackson acting all weird, as he always does. Like,
just Jackson.
He's funny in award shows. Just Jackson. Just Jackson. So we sat down yesterday, we watched some of them. But yeah, what were some of your favorites?
Well, I mean, NCT was pretty extravagant, that considering... Well, I mean, all of them, not just, like, NCT... Not just the NCT 2020.
No, I know.
But, like just Dream doing Raiden and 127 doing Kickin, all that stuff, and Wavy. You know, it was like watching an NCT concert.
It was. It was really
epic.
There was
so much... I mean, NCT did so much this year, like... In my heart, they are artists of the year because, like in general.
Yeah.
Just because, like, every unit released something and they did, like, a full group release.
And they're all good songs.
And they're all really good songs. So, like, honestly, they took over 2020 for me.
No, same. They did amazing this year. Also, the From Home rearranged version.
Yeah.
Sick as hell. Freaking Haechan, Taeyu, and Doyoung, like, ate it.
Doyoung, like, said, this is my song.
They were killing it.
Listen to my ad libs, my high notes.
I mean, it just shows you how talented NCT is as a whole. I mean, they have so many members.
Yeah.
It sucks that Jisung wasn't really in the dancing. I mean, he was on the little motorcycle. He was doing his thing on Raiden. He was like, I'm here.
He was riding the motorcycle.
Not really. But it was cool seeing all of them together and then all of them doing their units. And I think NCT definitely killed it. I also really liked Twice. I thought it was pretty cool how they set up everything and that they teased a new song.
Yeah. They showed us the whole song.
I mean, they showed us the whole thing, which was really good.
That's really good. Really
I can't wait, like, for them to release, like, a video for
it. I did like the style of that song a lot. So
it was super cool. It was like a whole different vibe for Twice, mm-hmm. and I thought they killed it. So I can't wait for them to release it because Cry For Me is... So, damn. I was like, damn, how dare they do this?
Yeah. The power. Oh, my God. They killed it this year, too, if they release that before the year ends.
Yeah. Oh, man. Taemin was like an artwork. That dude is, like, meant for the museums, you know? He should just be a statue or, like, pictures of Taemin because he's just such a work of art. Oh, also the whole BoA, like, montage. It was, like, BoA doing her stuff. And then we had, like, rookies and, like, groups covering BoA. And it was really cool.
Yeah, I really appreciated that for this year. Like, that was, like, BoA, obviously, would be the artist that they were highlighting for her 20th anniversary.
And Queen of K-pop.
Yeah, they said it straight, y'all.
She knows.
No one can say anything. They said it themselves. The Queen of K-pop.
Damn straight.
You know, she did number one. She did only one with Taemin again.
Yes.
And she did, of course, better. And then they did the medley of some of her other songs. And it was great. Like, I just love that BoA.
We just love BoA.
Is just BoA still killing it, man.
Supremacy, BoA supremacy up in this house.
Of course.
Also, we watched like Hwasa do Maria and Jessie do Nununana. And it was funny because, like, I was watching Jessie do Nununana. I was like, why am I getting, like, chills? And I think I was just getting chills because, like, she's hustled, like, in this industry for so long, for like 15 years. And she was even on Instagram, like, dreams come true, like, her performing at Mama. And I was like, you deserve it. You came out with such a banger this year. So I was like, I was just proud of her. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It was nice seeing, like, when artists finally also, like, they get to make it and perform. I was really disappointed that Luna did not perform at all. Other orbits were really sad too.
That's kind of, I don't know.
They were like, why didn't they invite Luna? Like, shit, they could have done a pretty, like, they could have done something small, you know, a little voice, and why not, you know? But bueno, I know they'll have their time to shine. I'm sad Baekhyun didn't perform either, but EXO doesn't do award shows anymore, so.
But he still won.
He was busy apparently preparing for a concert of some sort.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but yes, he still won. We watched BTS's performance too.
Yeah.
That was insane. The football field one.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I look at them, like, how? Like, I'd just be so tired looking at them because they're, like, whipping their heads
and
everywhere.
Dancing on that grass. I just, and in those, like, dress shoes. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it must have been intense. Dynamite was fun. The only thing that wasn't fun was the J-Hope deserved more screens.
Yeah, I don't know why they thought, like, let's make J-Hope look this good and not put the camera on him ever. He looked so nice.
I really was like, ooh. Jungkook looked really good, too.
Jungkook with the long hair really does it for
me. They should not cut his hair.
So I did like that.
And it was sad that Suga wasn't there, but of course, he is healing. But yeah, that was really nice. We saw Dynamite and On. And also, AT's was really good.
Oh,
like, they looked snatched their outfits. Oh,
so especially good. Sunghwa. Like,
Sunghwa,
his,
he looked delicious.
His outfit was everything.
It was. And like, I mean, San, I mean, and they also dance like their lives depend on it. Every time I watch AT's, I'm always just so amazed by how hard they dance. It's like my favorite. Watching them perform is one of my favorite things. And Jungho is like an amazing vocalist. 10 out of 10.
What about Stray Kids not doing their songs that they released this year?
So people were like, oh, first of all, they weren't nominated for anything, which didn't make sense to me. But they were also, they only did Victory Song, which is not even the song that came out last year.
Yeah.
I was kind of sad they didn't do God's Menu or Backdoor. I was expecting God's Menu, hands down. I was ready for a God's Menu performance. I was ready to watch it, and then I didn't see it, and I was like,
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I feel like they were kind of done dirty with them not doing God's Menu. Also, they in the Mamas, they announced Kingdom.
Oh, right.
Certain, they haven't announced all the groups, but so far confirmed the Boys, Stray Kids, and ATEEZ, which I'm kind of excited to see the performances.
I'm very curious who else will be on the show, because me and Nat were struggling to guess, like, I guess these mid-tier.
The only group I can think of is Masta X is a good.
Like, yeah, like all the boy groups that come to mind are either not active because of military enlistment, or they're not, like, they're too popular, or groups that are rookies and they shouldn't be on Kingdom. So
yeah, because Road to Kingdom was the rookies.
Yeah, more rookies are smaller groups. Yeah. I can't think of mid-tier boy groups.
Yeah, so if you
it's
have
like
any,
I'm struggling.
If you have any suggestions for Kingdom,
people keep naming groups that have like half their members in the military.
Yeah,
so it's like obviously they're not gonna be on it unless the show is gonna happen after.
Maybe I don't think so.
I really doubt
they probably
that.
Probably started recording pretty soon once they reveal the groups. I think SF9 might be a good. Maybe a good example.
Just feel like they're not a mid-tier group either. I feel like they would be on Road to Kingdom also. They're not that
they
popular.
They were rumored for Road to Kingdom.
I know. They're not that popular.
I guess. But when?
It's hard to think. I bet. I'm like so sure they're going to put groups on there that probably should not be there.
We'll see when they announce the rest. But it was cool that they did hint at the Mama performance. That I thought was cool. Mamamoo's performance was pretty lit. I like how they actually ended with Dingo, because I really like Dingo a lot.
Yeah.
Dingo, Dingo, Dingo. They all look like such snacks. Oh, and then Oh My Girl was super cute, of course.
Why was Chungha not there?
People were really mad. She wasn't even nominated for anything, I don't think. But someone was saying that maybe because it was pre-releases and not. I still think Stay the Night should have been at least nominated for Best Dance.
Wait, it wasn't?
I don't think so.
She wasn't in Best Solo Dance?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I have to look.
She should have won that.
I guess it was okay that she didn't go.
Maybe it's because it was so obvious she should have won it that it didn't nominate her.
I know like some other like Treasure performed in Hypen. We didn't see that. Or I know GOT7 performed. So at least Jackson was there. I'm kidding.
He was getting lit in the back.
He was probably in the back like, woo! But yeah, that's I guess a little rundown of the performances because I don't think we need to go like super into it.
No, yeah.
The editing was pretty cool. Like, even G Idol when they did Dumdy, was it G Idol that they had like aquatic animals swimming around? So weird.
No.
Or was that Oh My Girl? Was it IZ*ONE doing Atlantis Princess?
It was Atlantis Princess.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, that one was funny. I was like
giant turtle. Well, speaking of BoA, they released for her 20th anniversary. This is a BoA special, guys.
she just did a lot this month
for her 20th anniversary. They released like a little documentary on the SM channel, like a 30-minute video, kind of just going in depth about
her achievements.
You know, her achievements. You know, her debuting at a young age, like her audition, and just the whole story of BoA. If you don't know a lot about BoA, but you hear that she is the queen of K-pop because she is, maybe you should watch that video. Yeah, you'll learn a lot.
You also get a lot of like interesting like interviews from like Lee Soo-man, her brother, who is like a part of the SM staff, Kenzie, and Jaewon, Yu Yeonjin, all iconic SM
people.
Yeah, like
people who have been there for a long time that are very iconic people.
I think it's a fun documentary to watch, and you really learn about why she is the queen of K-pop. Okay, so moving on from the little brief advertisement for the documentary. Amanda's like, we're going to advertise BoA in this podcast. We can also talk about some debuts and comebacks that did happen. Boa was one of them.
Sure was.
Better, which honestly is a fantastic, nostalgic kind of track.
Yeah.
It was a banger. It's a banger.
That dance is awesome,
too. Yeah, no, she's amazing. She's just such a goddamn queen.
I know.
God.
Oh, my God.
But moving on from Boa, we also had a comeback, I guess, like by NCT as a whole group, 2020.
Yeah.
They did Resonance. Hey, yo.
Gonna resonate.
We gonna resonate. That was epic. I thought it was interesting that they mixed up Make-A-Wish, Work It, and 90s Love into the track. It was cool seeing it live. I feel like if you were to go to an NCT concert and see that, you'd be like super lit. Also, BTS made their comeback with Life Goes On, which was like kind of relatable, slower track for this whole thing going on the pandemic. The video was pretty emotional.
And the album, I feel kind of like a more slower, mellow route too. Though I did find the album a little underwhelming.
It wasn't for us.
Yeah, I wasn't like super into it. Even though like I had high expectations thinking it was gonna be like a more mellow album, but it didn't really hit for me. So I was a little like eh about it. So that kind of sucked.
Yeah, I think the best song on there was probably Telepathy. But yeah, that was a more upbeat track.
It was.
It wasn't the slow tracks.
In the last K-chat, we mentioned that we were looking forward to Stacey and Aespa. You know, we had high expectations. And I mean, Stacey definitely met my expectations.
Hell yeah.
Like, Black Eyed Peas song is a great producing duo. Stacey definitely came out with a song that has a vibe from the type of music that they make. Very reminiscent of like kind of like Sistar's songs and A-Pink, because Black Eyed Peas song made those songs for them as well. So it was really good. And those girls are awesome.
I think it's one of the best debuts of
this
year.
Oh, it definitely is. It's
hands down.
Definitely up there.
Hands down. I feel like Aespa was a good debut too. Like, I really liked Black Mamba. It was really catchy. It was very like kind of like powerful in your face. I only wish that SM would have included a rap. I think the song is a little empty without a rap. And I feel like I don't know why they showcased Giselle rapping in her teaser and then her not rapping at all.
Yeah. It was definitely, there definitely should have been a rap on the second verse where she sings. It definitely would have completed the song.
I think it would have enhanced it a lot more. But other than that, I like the debut. It gets stuck in my head. I jam to it. Like, I got no problems with it besides the missing of a rap.
Yeah.
Also, we had ENHYPEN, which they were a part of a survival show, and they're under Big Hit labels. And honestly, I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't know what to expect. I was kind of like, all right, let's see what they'll do. But the video was interesting. I liked the whole kind of like horror spooky concept of the video. And it was actually done. It wasn't just like your typical kind of like horror. Like, I feel like they added a bit more with like the editing and the film, like the filters they used. So I really liked that. I felt like the song was pretty decent. It was like a pretty good release from a rookie. Listening to it again, I could see why people thought it sounded something like TXT would come out with. But I'm kind of not surprised because they're under the same company, technically.
Well, I mean, I guess people who stan Big Hit are probably new K-pop stans, so they don't know that usually a company
has a sound.
Has like a certain sound, and you start to learn the members, like the trainees and the idols in companies kind of start having the same vocal technique and rapping technique and tone. It's like they clone them almost.
Yeah, it's because, like, you know, they're trained by the same vocal trainers and same like rap trainers, so they all just tend to,
they're just gonna kind of start sounding like that,
and the processing is similar between the groups, so that's why they do give off a TXT vibe. But again, they're all under the same company, so it's not really a surprise to me.
I mean, if when certain companies do broaden like who produces their music and stuff, you can escape that similarity. But if you have like a set like producer or team, you will find similarities like that. So
cough, Teddy, cough.
Yeah.
No shade, but shade.
Shade.
All the shade.
I'm just saying.
Everyone agrees, though. It's not just us. It's still also a pretty decent debut, though. I think I liked the video a lot more than the song, but I feel like the song still nicely fit with the video.
Yeah.
And then obviously we had Kai, who we also mentioned in our K-chat was going to debut.
Yeah.
That song's on repeat. I can't escape that song. It's so damn catchy. Not only that, but I've been watching the live stages, so I think I've been hearing it like once a day. I think the album's also really good.
That album,
I mean, Nothing On Me and Ride or Die are like those songs. I listen to Nothing On Me and I'm just like, how?
And Reason is so good too.
Yeah. It was a really good debut. I'm really proud, and I felt like it was a really good album, and he really outdid himself. He's already like, can't wait to work on the next album. I'm like, well, you just came out. I know, right? It's like no rest. Hopefully he does rest. But I felt like it was a really good solo debut. Not being biased. Try not to be. A little biased, obviously.
A little biased.
Y'all know I'm an XO. But yeah, that was like some of the rundown of some debuts and comebacks. I know there's obviously a bunch of other debuts, a bunch of other comebacks.
Yeah, if you watch our K-Monthly for November, we do go over some releases that we didn't react to, so you'll see our opinion there.
So moving on to more interesting news that has been kind of talked about everywhere. I've been seeing it all over Twitter because of the articles. The military enlistment extension, which we've been seeing the government kind of talk about, not only this past month, but they've been talking about it throughout this year in regards to, because we know BTS is about to enlist soon, start enlisting, because Jin is 92.
He's 92?
Is he 90?
He's 92 well, years old.
He's 92. Jin is from the year 1992. So everyone's like talking about like enlistments, like BTS is supposed to start going soon. And the government is like thinking of giving them an extension until they're like, they're actually 30, because they kind of changed the law to like 28, I think, is when they're starting to be like, hey, you need to go to the military.
Hey, you need to go.
Hey, you need to go. According to the articles, the criteria is
a cultural award.
Because BTS has done a lot for the economy of Korea. Obviously, there's a lot of mixed responses on Twitter.
What I love is that they say that, like, oh, you gotta get a culture award, but they only made this law specifically for BTS.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like a general thing.
Yeah, this law is specifically for celebrities. Yeah, I've been reading a lot of mixed responses on Twitter because I was curious what people were saying on Twitter. Obviously, specifically armies, but a lot of people saying that, well, they do deserve it. They did a lot for Korea. What they've brought to Korea economically has been insane, which I've seen the numbers. It is pretty big. And some people saying like, oh, well, you know, if you're not Korean, you shouldn't have an opinion about the military enlistments. But in the end, I mean, everyone on Twitter debating about it is most likely not Korean. So I feel like we still, as K-pop fans, we can still give an opinion about it. Obviously, there's the other half of people that they're like, that's not fair. There's other groups that have done a lot for Korea back, and if you even count like second gen groups, but even third gen groups that have done a lot, like people are like, what about 17? Does that count for 17? EXO already started, but there was some EXO stans that were upset. Yeah, so it's kind of a mixed response because this is the first time we've seen this happen where a group is getting, I guess, special benefits for what they've done. Personally, I think BTS is going to enlist either way. I don't think they'll even take the extension. Like, if Jin is called to the military next year, he'll go. Like, they're already like, we're gonna go anyways. Like, it's not,
it would look really bad on their part, right now. Like, whether they do it, and
even, you know, if they're allowed to,
even if they're allowed to and they do extension for this reasoning, it might kind of make them look bad.
Yeah, I don't know what the South Korean public thinks
because
about it,
since it's such a, you know, the culture over there, like, it's a whole other thing, and in respect is such a high thing. Like, I just feel like it would look kind of selfish.
Yeah, I haven't seen the response from South Koreans. I haven't read like netizen responses to it because I haven't seen it come up on my Twitter. But I personally would think it probably would look kind of bad if they, even if they had the permission to push back.
Yeah,
I feel like it kind of would look bad. That's why I think they're like, oh, we're gonna do it no matter what. Like, I don't think they're gonna take it. So I think that's good on their behalf to respond that way, because it's, you know, it makes it look like, all right, well, they're not gonna take that benefit even,
you know,
if they have it.
I wish, instead of like changing the criteria again and giving this specific reasoning why, they should have just reversed the rules and like not said why. Because before it was the same, it was like 30.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to like 28, and then now they want to change it back to 30, but because of blah, blah, blah. But it just makes it look kind of like pretentious like that. Like,
yeah, I think the reason they changed it before is because they did, especially like, I guess in celebrity cases, they didn't want people like trying to escape the military enlistments, which I totally get it because, you know, there have been people that have gotten in trouble for that. And again, it's not a country we understand because we don't deal with that here. We don't have.
I just wish they wouldn't have kind of blown it up as like one thing. Like, they should have just reversed it back to 30 and not told us why.
I think it might, in the end, I feel like it might give BTS a bad image, and it's not something that's their fault. You know, it's not something that they have control over. I think as long as they don't do it, they'll be fine. You know, we could have BTS solos or subunits, and I feel like they'll still, they can survive off the solos and subunits, because I feel like that still possibly could have an impact still, because it is BTS. I guess we'll see what happens with Jin. It starts with Jin. We'll see what happens with Jin, and then we'll see how that goes. Yeah, I'm just here to watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to something not as scary to talk about, the SM Cinematic Universe. They haven't really been doing it lately, though. Like, BoA's video didn't end with a teaser.
Okay, but you can only have so many freaking artists releasing music. They would have to be releasing a new song every week.
Lately, people have been talking about how, like, SM has been ending certain videos and hinting to another release. And I think that's honestly pretty cool because it kind of puts you, like, on the edge. You're like, ooh, what's gonna happen next? NCT did it with 90s Love, going into Work It, going into Resonance. And then we had aespa hinting at BoA and Kai hinting at Kyungsu and Shumin's return.
Well, Shumin's back.
Well, yeah, Shumin's already back. Ooh, Shumin's back. Side note, Shumin's back. And Dongwoon, right?
Dongwoon and Kikwang are back.
So I think it's honestly pretty cool, and I honestly hope that SM continues this concept because I think it'd be really epic. I think it's like a cool way to like get people like hyped for the next release, and it kind of ties in, like it makes the company seem like they're just all tied in. Like even 90s Love, they referenced aespa like terminology in the lyrics. So I thought that was pretty cool, and I honestly hope they keep doing it because it'd be more interesting.
Hell yeah.
And now moving on to something very, very recent that literally is happening in the midst of like right now. Now we've been seeing COVID hitting the idols. Like I've been wondering, like, man, when are we going to get idols getting confirmed?
It was stated that COVID would spike in the winter time.
And it's true. It has been spiking.
I mean, it's technically not winter yet, but, you know, around this time of the year. And it's been spiking not only here in the States, but, you know, in Korea and I don't know what other countries. I haven't been paying attention. It's gotten to the point where it's hitting idols and staff members of companies and such. And it's starting, that gets kind of scary. But I hope it's kind of like a wake-up call for some people if they're not being careful on their own time. You know, make sure you're wearing a mask. You should always have a mask on you. I don't care if you're going somewhere, like you're going to your parents' house or something where you never wear a mask because, you know, you see them often. You should always have a mask on you for certain situations that you might have to go in a store for an emergency or whatever. You should always leave your house with a mask. I don't know if I've noticed every idol has been getting hit, but I'm pretty sure the first news of an idol getting it was Beetle from UpTension. And then everyone that was on that same music show had to get tested.
Yeah, it was like a whole
thing. And then Kogyul also tested positive from UpTension. And then we saw that Chungha tested positive because she's been going to like a physical rehab center. Someone also was positive, and now everyone that she's come into contact with has to get tested.
And it's a lot of idols.
Yeah, it's like a lot of idols because she went to Mina from Goo Goo Dawn's birthday party.
Yeah, it was like an IOI reunion.
Yeah, Mina, it was like the four of them, and they're getting tested. Yeah, so wrong. I mean, by the time this episode goes up, we'll see if they what their results, because I don't think results have gone up yet.
Not for everyone. I know Twice is negative.
Yeah, like all of Twice. When I saw that this morning, I thought it was gonna say all Twice members have are positive.
Like, no!
But it said negative, so I was like, okay.
Yeah, like all the articles have been about that. Even Momoland goes to the same makeup and hair salon as Chungha. They're getting tested for precaution. I saw IZ*ONE was testing for precaution. So it's like, even the MAMA Awards, speaking of the MAMA, everyone wearing masks, it's crazy how like we're starting to see idols get it, and now it's like a constant, you know, fans worrying, is it going to be positive? Is it going to be negative? Like hopefully she recovers just as Beetle and Kogyul. Because, you know, like even if you're young and fit, like depending on just how your body is, like COVID could hit you hard.
It's a guessing game. Sometimes you don't even know if you have it because you don't show symptoms.
So hopefully they'll be fine, and hopefully not a lot of idols will get it, and they'll be very safe, and they've been canceling things here and there, and like,
yeah, I saw a lot of things getting canceled.
Yeah, because it's like even music shows, it's always like, will it air next week? Oh, also I forgot to mention that Jihyun and Yeon also got positive.
Oh, right. COVID. That was after Beetle.
So hopefully they also recover because they were on Inkigayo. That's also they were on Inki.
They were on Sketchbook.
Yeah, so a lot of people on Sketchbook had to also get tested. They got negative. Like Teen Top had to get tested because they were on there.
But I've been seeing like FNC staff getting positive and stuff like that. So it's like it's kind of scary because now everyone's getting it. I'm hoping people are gonna be a little more cautious.
They might
now
have to like shut down.
They might have to shut
music shows and stuff for a bit.
I think we might,
if it gets worse,
they might go in another quarantine over there.
Yeah,
and things
definitely
are gonna slow down for a while again.
We can't relate because Florida doesn't.
Florida is not doing anything.
Florida's just a piece
we
of
just
shit.
We ourselves, like the smart people, have to
are
like
being
just be careful.
Yeah. But yeah, I hope all of them get well because It's scary.
Yeah, I'm wondering how, like, I'm like, I don't want it to escalate. And, like, yeah, God forbid, you know, it gets bad.
It gets worse, yeah. You, so.
Like, I really don't want to wake up to news like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be
or getting worse,
scary.
Yeah. So hopefully they all recover and they'll all be safe and everyone that's coming to contact them recovers. And hopefully COVID, the spike goes down as we end the year. But yeah, we'll see. It's been an interesting month with a bunch of interesting things to talk about. A lot of different topics, you know, with COVID and then the military and the MAMA awards and the produce scandal. So we'll see if hopefully maybe December it'll be a little less crazy.
I don't know.
We'll get a lot of Christmas releases.
Probably not with all the COVID happening.
No, but I'm sure groups could. I mean, the boys just released a Christmas song.
I know.
So we'll probably get like our, you know, our K-pop Christmas releases rolling in because it's that time of the year. Whatever happens, we'll talk about it in the next K-chat. It's a little news rundown with our opinions. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. Let us know what your opinions are on the topics we talked about. Because again, these are just our opinions. This is just how we feel about these topics. But you can always tweet us or send us a message on Instagram or on YouTube or whatever about what you think about these topics. And we hope you guys enjoyed this little K-chat. Speaking of YouTube and Instagram, don't forget to watch us on our YouTube channel, K-Junkies, K!Junkies. Obviously, that's where all our reactions are, first listens, K-rankings, dance covers, etc. And don't forget to follow us on our Instagram, K_Junkies, to keep updated with anything that we got going on.
And if you want any benefits on our videos or our podcast episodes, you can check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/K-Junkies, to join a tier, request videos, or take part in our episodes if you join a tier. And make sure to follow our podcast, Talk That, if you don't already, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, to keep updated with our episodes.
And make sure to share, too.
Yes, please share.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. So if they like K-pop and they want to talk about K-pop stuff or listen to K-pop stuff, listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. Bye.